his love.
For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised.
So lift up your hands and praise the Lord. Why don't you lift up your hands and praise the Lord? Just praise the Lord. Praise him for his mercy. Praise him for his love.
For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised.
Just lift up your hands and praise the Lord.
Why don't you lift up?
Just lift them up. Praise him. Just praise him.
Just praise him for his mercy. Praise him for his love. Oh, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. So lift up your hands.
Sing that one more time. Just lift up your hands.
Up your hands and praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise him for his mercy. Praise him for his love.
For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised.
So lift up your hands and praise the Lord.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it.
This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made.
Sing it. This is the day.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made.
What are we going to do?
We will rejoice, we will rejoice and be glad.
Like this before.
I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Come on.
This is the day.
That glorious day.
This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. And I will rejoice, yes, I will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it.
For this is the day that the
I will rejoice and be glad in.
Amen. It's good to be here this morning. You may be seated. Go ahead, Brother Mike.
You know, I wasn't made to live for the world.
Come on.
I wasn't made to serve the devil.
Oh.
God made me to serve him.
Amen.
He made me to believe this message. He believed me to try to tell other people about it.
Come on.
To let the foolish virgins in that crossed my path.
Oh, Lord.
You know, I tried to live for the world after I came here. And then I tried to live for the world and this. And mixed trees don't work.
Amen.
So finally I realized that I was made for this.
Come on.
This is where I'm comfortable. This is where I'm satisfied.
Yes.
There's nowhere else I want to go.
Nowhere else.
You know, I want to do is serve God and do what God wants me
That's
to
right.
do. No matter how nervous or hard it might seem to me.
Amen.
Or how much I don't like it, I still want to do it. Because everything that he's done for me.
That's
right. So I hope I don't hurt your ears, but I'm going to try to play this song.
Make that joyful noise, brother. Amen.
I know who I am. I know who you are. Cross of salvation is only the star. Now I am chosen, I'm free and forgiven. I have a future, it's worth living. Cause I don't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my? I know I. I was made for more. I know who I am. I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. Have a future and it's worth living. Cause I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by grace, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. And I'm not going back.
You know, that was the most beautiful song that I'm probably going to hear today because of the desire that's behind it. You know, and I don't see anything the same anymore after these last couple of services. I've come to find out that I've been looking at the wrong thing a lot of the time. And you don't look at things like how God looks at things, you'll always miss God every single time. And he's in the most subtle things that you wouldn't even look at. And, you know, it's that desire that I'm looking at when I heard that song. Because, see, I know who I am, but it's only because of what God has revealed to me. And I know who he is, just like he said in the song. And that just touched me. And I'm blessed to be here this morning. Go ahead, Brother Steve.
Well, I was just sitting up here to meet.
Oh. Called upon, I'm going to praise the Lord. I mean, I've got a praise in my heart. I've been given salvation.
Amen.
I mean, I've got eternal life.
Amen.
Brother Branham said that was the greatest gift you could get was eternal life.
Come on now.
I'm sitting under the truth.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm telling you what, there's not a whole lot of truth out there. And I'm so glad that I've got an ear to hear. And I appreciate y'all. God bless you.
Amen.
My family come up. We're going to sing a song real quick for
yes.
you guys.
Yes, yes,
it's called I'll Give You More.
Amen.
More than this. I'm sorry.
Lord, I'm
more than this.
Amen.
I'll give this one to you.
Yes. Okay. Well, as everybody's coming, my wonderful family, I just want to thank God for everybody. And I'm just so happy to be here. And I'm so happy to be up under this word, because this word is what it is. It's nothing else. Everything else will fail.
Yes.
And God gave me this song, and I'm just so happy. I also want to come and ask for prayer. A lot of my family members are going through a lot of things, and they call up on me. My plate is already full, but they're calling up on me, and I just want to be the light, you know. They know our ministry. They know they've been around us for over 30 years. So when they need God, they're reaching out to us. Also for my business, I want God to it's growing. But I need the proper tools and the wisdom to
Amen.
Keep it going.
Yeah.
So I'm asking the Lord for that. Brother Childers was a great example. He brought everything to the body. He brought his marriage to the body. He brought his business
yes.
to the body.
Yes.
He brought his sickness to the body, and I'm bringing this to the body that I'm
Amen.
So thankful. I'm so thankful for my children that are helping
Amen.
Me along the way. I'm thankful for my husband for his understanding, because I wouldn't be in this position
yes.
without him
Amen.
And his patience. I couldn't have run this business with any other husband, and I just really want to make
Amen.
That clear, because
Amen.
It takes a special man not to look at Pastor Moore's laughing. Because it takes a special understanding, because you're not going to always get your way, and you're not going to always have your wife there. So it takes a different understanding when you own the company. When I worked for people, I could leave and go home and it wouldn't be a thing. But now if my phone rings at 2 o'clock in the morning, I got to answer it. I have 11 employees up under me, and I'm just asking God for wisdom to go through this next year
yeah.
and for peace. And for him to put the people and the tools that we need
yes.
to succeed. Because we already know we're going to succeed, because
yes.
God's already said it. So now it's just walking it through.
Yes.
So I'm just asking for the body to give us their prayers and their understanding and the wisdom to go for it. So
Amen.
this song right here is such a blessing to me. God always gives me songs in the midst of where I am. I don't
yeah,
get right. songs all the time. But when I do, I know it's my anthem.
Amen.
Okay.
Just because the chords.
Okay. Did you put it up there?
Yeah, it's it. Micah, can you put the words up for us, please? More than this.
Till I reach my goal and I see your face, I will forever bow down and worship you. Till I hear well done and my assignment's through, I will forever bow down and worship you.
I'll give you more, more than this. I'll give you more than this. Not just a little, not just a part of me. Till you wipe all tears and there's no more pain, I will forever bow and worship you. Till you crack the sky and the dead arise, I will forever bow and worship you. I'll give you more than this. I'll give you more than this. Not just a little, not just a part of me. Not just a little, not just a part of me. Everything, I will lay it down at your feet. My whole life poured out an offering. Lord, right here and now, all I am is yours. Everything, I will lay it down at your feet. My whole life poured out an offering. Lord, right here and now, all I am is yours. I'll give you more than this. I'll give you more than this. Not just a little, not just a part of me. I'll give you more than this. I'll give you more than this. Not just a little, not just a part of me. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen, amen. I love this body. We're in this church, Kia G. We are in this church. Not just the four walls, but this church.
Church is the people.
This blessed body. We're in this church, this glorious church. We did not join, now I was born. I have a new birth, some glorious day. I'm gonna sail away. It's by His grace, not by my works. We're in this church.
Amen.
We're in this church. Glorious church. We did not join. No, I was born. I have a new birth. Some glorious day. We're gonna sail away. We're gonna sail away. It's by His grace, not by my church. We're in this church. One more time. We're in this church, this glorious church. We did not join, no, we were born. I have a new birth, some glorious day. I'm gonna sail away, we're gonna sail away. It's by His grace, not by my works. It's by His grace, not by my works. It's by His grace, not by my works. We're in this church. Amen. Go ahead, brother.
bless you, Bride. I'm so glad to be here this morning. I wanted to take some time just to recap on what Brother Jerry preached on Wednesday. It was a beautiful message, and the two things that I put down for myself that really just resonated with me is the first thing was the bride has a responsibility. And, you know, that's so true because in the natural, you think about how he mentioned about a husband. A husband has a responsibility to a home,
right?
You know, to his wife and his kids. And it's no different from us. We have a responsibility. God has chosen us to do the job, and we should do this job well. You know, we shouldn't complain about it. We should be thankful about it, honestly. We should be really thankful. And I thank God that God has chose me. He has chose me to believe his word. There's nothing up on this pulpit that I sit there and doubt. It's 100% the truth. It's the truth. Even if I can't live up to it, it's still the truth. And I thank God for that. And the second thing is being consistent in your prayers. And that's a blessing because sometimes in the flesh you get down about this didn't happen, this didn't happen, what didn't happen today. Well, keep praying. God will see you through. This bride can't fail. This bride cannot fail. We can't fail even if we try. God's going to see us through, and I thank God for that.
As
the year comes down, we should all be thankful. We made it another year.
Come on.
Another year. As hard as it is, think about all the things you've been through. We're still standing, and I thank God for that. Each and every one of us have gone through our trials and tribulations, but we're still standing, keeping our head up high.
Amen,
and I thank God for that. And the last thing is, if we have time, Isaiah, if we can sing, Pastor Moore, can you sing? I can't think of a song now. Can you sing a song?
Sure.
God bless you.
My precious sister.
I just wanted to take a moment just to identify. You know, I'm just so thankful to be here. And Sister Michelle, your testimony, it spoke to me. You know, you do bring everything to the body. You know, and my goal is to be, I want to be a help, you know, and I'm like, lately I've been pulling in 15 different directions, and I'm like, Lord, I just don't want to give a little bit to everybody. You know, I want to give my all to everything that I do. You know, I think it was Sister Elise who said she gets up and she does her best, you know, in everything that she does. And I was like, you know what? I was like, I can't, like right now, I feel like I'm just in so many different directions. I can't say that I'm giving my best to everything. And I'm like, Lord, that's what I want to do. That's my desire. Is to give my best in everything that I do. And I'm so grateful for my husband, and I just appreciate how he just improves our family each and every day. He makes sure that we have God in everything. You know, we started a new thing where we're praying now. Like, we pray in the morning and we pray at night with each other, you know, and I get up a little bit earlier than he does, and I'm just grateful that he's willing to get up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning to pray with me. You know, sometimes his eyes are closed, but he's still speaking, and I'm just so thankful that he's willing to do that with me and bring God in our family, because that was also my desire, is that we continue to put God first, and our kids put God first, and our home is that we put God first, because there's a lot of reasons that any of us would not be in church, or any of our marriages not be together, but we're rooted here. You know, we're rooted in this word, and I'm just so thankful, and I appreciate this word.
Amen. A day to go past without me praising God, too, to be able to be in this church. This, you know, like Sister Moore and I said, coming in the doors just today, it's just a rest and a peace when you walk through those doors, you know. It's just a, like here, I've made it, and I just want to thank God I've made it through this year, too, that I'm here, and I believe this word, you know, and I enjoyed Brother Jerry's preaching Wednesday night, too, a continuation. It is a continuation that we need to get through day by day, week by week, month and year, as we are faced with it, the highs and the lows. We believe what God has put in us, and I know we are here for a purpose, and the world has to see God through us, and that's what I want my light to shine and to be the example that I need to be, to do God's will. And I just thank God that I'm here. Praise God. And we need prayers for my husband this Friday. He's having his knee replacement surgery, and my granddaughter's having surgery too, so I might have to be absent some before New Year's, but I plan to be here New Year's. You know? And thank God for this word.
Amen. Let's sing You've Surely Been Good to Me. This is inspired by Brother Seth last Wednesday, and we wanted to sing it then, but I want to sing it now. So it's surely been good to me. Key of F. You filled me with the Holy Ghost. Oh, you've surely been good to me.
You filled me with the Holy Ghost. You've surely been good to me. You filled me with the Holy Ghost. You've surely been good to me.
filled me with the Holy Ghost. You surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not.
You healed my body.
You healed my body when I was sick. You surely been good to me. You healed my body when I was sick. You surely been good to me. You healed my body when I was sick. You surely been good to me. You have done what this world.
You corrected me. Oh, yes.
You corrected me when I was wrong. You surely been good to me. You corrected me when I was wrong. You surely been good to me. You corrected me when I was wrong. You surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my Lord, you surely been good to me. Oh, my Lord, you surely been good to me. Oh, my Lord, you surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do.
One more time, oh, my Lord.
Announcement. God bless Brother Jerry Allen coming to bless us.
Amen.
So we've got the Sunday, December 22nd, 6 p.m. evening service. We got the Christmas songs, and I'm super excited. There's so much going on that night.
Amen.
But you know what? If the rapture comes before then and we're out of here, we'll have that too. And because everything else is negotiable, that thing is the only thing on our plate. No service Wednesday, December 25th. And then we've got Brother Rosaldo Evangelista coming December 29th. And then the New Year's service will be on the 31st, dinner at 6 p.m. And then the service will be followed shortly after 8 o'clock p.m. So let's sing. Move in this place. Key of C. Brother Kevin wanted us to sing something, so we'll sing that something. Amen. Let's move in this place. Let him move. Let him just move. Open your hearts up, because he's got something for you today.
Move in this place today. This is my one desire, that you would have your way. Touch me, Lord, and I won't be the same. Move in this place today.
Let's sing that one more time.
Move in this place today. This is my one desire, that you would have your way. Touch me, Lord, and I won't be the same. Move in this place today.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
where the Spirit of the Lord is, the captives are set free. As we offer up the sacrifice of praise, may your Holy Spirit free them as we pray. Touch me, Lord. I need a touch. Touch me, Lord. And I won't be the same. Just move in this place. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, we need a touch today. We need a touch in our bodies. We need a touch in our spirits. We need a touch in our hearts and mind. Lord, and you're in this place this morning. You said where two and three are gathered. You're in the midst of, Lord, we're looking for you to move every hindrance out of the way, Lord, that you might freely have your way today. We thank you for this congregation that's standing with us here this morning and ask you to bless them as they open up their hearts and their minds to the Word of God. Those who couldn't make it today but maybe tuning in, ask you to touch them, Lord. Those that may listen even later on, let the Word be so rich that it'll bless them, Father. God, in ourselves, we're nothing. We can't do this. But through Christ Jesus, we can do all things. Speak to us this morning. Move us aside. Move all the problems, the sickness, and everything aside that you might speak to us today. Thank you for answering prayers, Lord. Thank you for moving in behalf of people around the world who are looking to you through this little place. And Father, I pray that you'll help us to give what we have that others might benefit from it, Lord. That's what it's about. It's not about us, but it's about your word and what it can do to others and what it can do for others. And the little sacrifice that we do here, Lord, let it be used for your glory. Multiply it, Father. Speak through this word this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And good to see you all out. There's no place like coming to the house of God and being able to share in the word. So when I see you slacking off and stop coming or slowing down or hitting and missing or just staying at home, you're only hurting yourself. Because God's truth is marching on. There's not one of us in here that God can't move this thing forward in. If one gets in the way, God can get around that. If one soldier falls by the side of the road, the rest of the soldiers keep pushing it. Our brother Childress pushed it until he couldn't push no more. And I'll push it till I can't push no more. And if you ever have to lay me down, if you ever have to lay me down, then Jeremiah will push it on. And Jay will push it on. And whoever else will need to do it, because it's not about one person, not about one individual. It's about the word of God, and God's truth will march on no matter who's behind this pulpit. So it's good to be able to come and to be a part of it. Because that's all we all are, is just a part of it. It's not the sum total of it all. Matter of fact, you can't be perfect without them. And they can't be perfect without you. God made it in such a way that we need each other so badly that you can't go without the other. And he did that on purpose, because he knew what kind of man would take it and be selfish and take it himself. But he locked us into a body. So that we can't just take our little bit, our little family and our little bit of stuff and go, but it takes a body, the entire body, to make it work. So it's good. It's good to be here. I really enjoyed Brother Allen on Wednesday night, and I've been thinking about it all week. And I want to talk this morning for a little while, and I want to go over to 1 John chapter 5, if you would want to turn with me there. It's good to wrap the year up. It's good that God has blessed us to be able to stay in the house of the Lord and to still be here. Amen. Many started out, as Courtney sings, many started out with us and not here today. But I'm here today, and you're here today. And so you have to encourage yourself with that. Because if you let the world try to encourage you, they're not going to do it. They would discourage you. But we want God to encourage us in the Lord. Jay's still walking around. What's going on now?
That wireless mic is not picking you up like we need.
Do I need to pull it closer? Do you need to turn it up?
We turned it way up, but it's not responding. I'm going to fix it, but I'm going to give you this one.
Oh, old school.
Old school. There you go.
Well, you know, we have other wireless mics back there. Those little bitty ones that we use, but they must think I'm not going to stand behind here. I was like, why do I have two? Okay, well, I get it. But you pray for me. We've got the trip coming up here in January. It's coming faster than I can imagine. We leave the 13th of January, and so we got about a month. And usually this is the time that I start packing, because there's things we got to do. I've got shots coming up, and you know, everything's lined up. Brother June's written me, and he's already got her intercontinental flights tickets, so he ain't playing. So I said, well, I guess I'm going. So you pray for that trip that's coming up and pray to God I'll bless it. And I'm sure he will. There's never been a trip that God didn't bless. And so we want to get prepared for that. And we've got Brother Rizaldo coming. I'm excited about seeing him again. And him and Sister Rizaldo, they're going to come and visit with us. And they're going to stay with us. I asked him, I said, you want to stay in a hotel? You want to stay with me? And he said, well, it's you. So he's coming home to my house with me. And we'll have him for a couple of days. And I'm glad to be able to spend some time with him. So it'll be good. So 1 John chapter 5, we want to start here. I want to read a couple of verses if you want to stand with me. And I've been thinking about this since Wednesday when my brother Alan ministered to us. And so we want to just go from here. Verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begot, loveth him also that is begotten of him. But this we know, that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You may be seated. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. And I'd like the title of the message this morning, A Love Affair. And I've been thinking about this since Wednesday. And I wanted to start with this reading here because, you know, people go to church for a lot of different reasons. They go because their parents go. They go because they got married in that church and their wife belongs to it or the husband belongs to it. They go to it because they've always gone to it. My parents went, my grandparents went, my great-grandparents went, as far as we can remember. We have a lot of reasons why we come to church. Some people come to church for money. And it could be the pastors. They get money when they come to church. Some people are the church organists and they get paid for it. They don't even believe what the church preaches. But it's a job to them. And all they do is get their money and go about their life. They don't bit more care about God. Some people do it for position. Because you're going to call me a deacon or you're going to call me a brother or an elder or the church treasurer or titles. Head deacon, head bishop, head usher. The titles and positions. And some people aren't getting money, but they get the prestige. I'm the first lady. Nowadays, I'm the first gentleman. But it's position. And as long as they have that, they'll come to church every day, every Sunday, every Wednesday. They'll come to the meetings. They'll do more than what you do. Because they got something they're getting out of it. But why do you come to church? Why are you here? Is it for your boyfriend, for your girlfriend? Are you here because if you don't come, people are going to know you don't believe it? And this is where I want to start, because I'm talking about a love affair. Verse 1 says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That says a lot right there. Unless you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you cannot be born again. And coming to a church doesn't make you believe that Jesus is the Christ. Sitting in a pew doesn't make you believe that Jesus is the Christ. You got to know that for yourself. You got to believe that for yourself. You got to have a personal relationship. See, I never get away from that.
Amen.
You got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, it causes you to have a love affair. Everyone that loveth him that begot, loveth him also that is begotten of him. If you love God, you got to love your brother.
Amen.
It's not even optional. It's not a choice in the sense that, well, it's not a choice, but it's proof. You say, well, I choose not to love my brother. You can choose all you want, but you know what? If you don't love your brother, you don't love God. If you don't love God, you're not born again. So loving your brother is tied to loving God. An affair happens between more than one person. Takes two. Woo. At least. So you can't be an individual on your own and love God. You can't be an individual alone and hate Jay, who keeps interrupting me.
This fixed.
Yep. What'd you
do? The
battery?
No, right here. Somebody, we had moved that, so we're good.
Where's Isaiah? Where's Isaiah?
We'll tape it.
You're gonna tape it.
So it don't happen again.
I gotta blame somebody. I didn't do it. Thank you, Jay. I didn't even know there was a button over there. Okay. All right. Well, they'll fix that. But in order to have an affair, it has to be more than just you. And the reason I titled it, A Love Affair, because it's got to be an affair between you and God in you. It can't just be a one-way relationship. It can't just be God loving you. And you doing what you want.
Amen, Lord. You're right.
I'll drink a little water while you think on that.
Amen.
By this we know that we love the children of God.
Right.
Now listen how this is put. It's not we love the children of God. This is the proof that you do love the children of God. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. You got to have that. That calls back to continuation. You got to continually keep his commandments. You have to continually love God. See, when you love God just right, you don't. It's not hard to love your brother. When you love God and keep his commandments, not playing around church, not in and out, up and down. As long as the sun's out, you're serving God. As soon as the moon comes up, you're serving yourself. Continually serving God, 24/7. And if you love God, I don't have to worry about you loving me. That's what he's saying here. You'll love me because you love God.
Amen.
See, that's an affair. That's an affair right there. If you love God, you love me. And if you love me, and we'll read it, if you love me, you'll love God. One and the same. For this is the love of God. Now, you want to know what the love of God is. He tells you plainly what the love of God is. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Keep his word.
You and the Word have to become one. You have to become the living Word. And you can't keep His Word if you don't know what day you're living in.
Amen.
You wouldn't even know what to keep. I don't have to keep the Trinitarian doctrine. I have to keep the false water baptism of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I have to move in the light as I'm in the light. The words told us we'd be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's His commandment. Keep that. The Word says, love your enemies. Keep that. See, a lot of times we only put two or three things on the things to do list. The things that we can do. The things that we can do easily. And then we say we love God. Because we do those three things. But God said, love your enemy. Just love them that despitefully use you. Do it on purpose. That's hard. That's hard. When somebody does something to you on purpose, and you still got to love them, and the thing about it, it isn't even a got to. Because God is in there, and because God is love, you automatically will love them. It's not something you got to practice. I don't have to practice to love you. I have to practice to love people. I don't have to have practice to figure out how to love humanity. It's just in you to love humanity because it's in you to love God. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And so, oh, here we go. Can't have no problems. Can't have that. Ain't what it's saying. You'll have problems, but you'll overcome them. Do you realize a believer overcomes every problem? Eventually. He said, I got a problem here. I got a problem here. I got a problem here. I can't get over that. I can't. Your problem will go away. This too shall pass. If it's a problem, this too shall pass. Because God is in there, and God's going to take you from that problem. I don't care if it goes with you the rest of your life. It only lasts till you get out of this tabernacle. And because I got another house waiting on me, I don't care what sickness, I don't care what problem, I can't. If I lose a limb, it'll be fixed. Brother Brown said you won't lose one hair. So whatever the believer is going through is only temporary. So don't put so much emphasis on your problem. Put your emphasis on the solution. Put your emphasis on where you're going, not where you're coming from. You will overcome the world. Everybody that loves God will overcome the world. Period. You say, well, you don't understand. I have all kind of trouble. I don't care about your troubles. They're not eternal. You will overcome it. That's like Brother Childers used to say, you'll smoke your last cigarette some one day. You say, well, I got this habit. I just can't get over it. I can't get over it. You'll get over it. Or I got this problem. I can't. You'll get over that problem too. Paul said, Lord, I got a problem. He said, don't worry about that, Paul. My grace is sufficient. My grace will cover that. You will get over it. Paul don't have that problem today.
Amen.
You won't have that problem. I won't have that problem. I don't care what it is. We love God. And God loves us. And we love the brethren. And we love them that despitefully use us. And it's not because we have to force ourselves to do it. You do it because it's in you. God is in you. God is love.
Amen.
God wants you to love them that are unlovable. You say, I can't stand this and I can't stand that one. I can't stand the Pope. I can't stand the government. I can't stand, you know what? You better learn to get over it. And you will. Even if you don't till you die, you will. Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this, now see, not only did he tell you you're going to overcome the world, he's going to tell you how. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. Your revelation. Because you have a revelation, you understand who you are. You understand every man you meet. You understand that even though you're going through something, this too shall pass. You understand all these things. That's what's going to get you to overcome. That's how you overcome the world. You're going to overcome the world by your revelation, not by your hard work. You're going to overcome by your understanding. Do you know how you get along with people? By your understanding. There's people I can't stand. Truth be known. I can't, but he can. And I understand where they're at. And when you understand where somebody's at, you understand how to deal with them. They don't have to get on your last nerve. How do I overcome? Brother Branham said a few moments ago, I mentioned that John understood what it was to love God. The rest of the apostles, that great apostle of love would certainly see it when the church began to lose its first love to God. They saw that going in. John saw the church falling away. That's what was going on here. One little deviation from the word was a step away from Christ. Think about your life. One deviation from the word is one step away from Christ that you take.
That's right.
You don't feel close to God, it's your fault.
That's right.
That old saying, if you feel far away from God, who moved? Wasn't him. Remember how you burned when you first started? Remember how you were on fire? Remember how you loved this thing? And now you're like, something happened. It didn't happen to God. You gotta examine yourself to see that, to make sure you're in the faith. Because you could be stepping away from the very faith that you need. And your fire is going out. Your enthusiasm dying down. Your love is waxing cold. You no longer feel like it's the number one thing in your life. And you start replacing it with other things. And next thing you know, you're cold, indifferent. Don't care if you go to church or not. Don't care if you're a part of this thing or not. And next thing you know, you're sitting at home. That's how it happens. You somewhere along the line have to step away from the Word of God.
That's right.
And when you step away from the Word of God, there's only one thing that'll replace that.
Yep.
That's Satan. One little deviation from the Word was a step away from Christ. People say they love God. They go to church. They even shout and rejoice.
Come on.
And sing and have a great emotional time. But when it's all over, watch and see if they are in the Word.
Right.
In that Word, walking in it, living in it. See, there's your answer there. You got to walk and live in the Word. Don't expect the Word to do something for you and you ain't walking in it. This isn't a Sunday, Wednesday thing. This is a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday thing. It's got to be your whole life. You got to dedicate yourself to it. Give time to him. if you give God as much time as you give yourself. You'll be on fire. You'll be enthused. You'll be turned on. You want to do something. You want to help somebody. You want to go and give somebody. Because then remember, that love is tied to God, but that love is also tied to your brother. You'll love God. You'll love your brother. You'll love each other. And when you find yourself getting cold and indifferent, you don't care whether you're late or not. You don't care whether you sing or not. Song leader's up here singing and you're sitting like this. Singing a song, lift up your hands and praise the Lord. And you're sitting like this. Shake yourself. You know when you're getting cold. You know when you're stepping away from the Word of God. You know when you're letting the world get between you and God. And if you're letting the world get between you and God, the only one that can change that is you. I could preach till I'm blue in the face, but if you don't put the wood on your own fire, it will go out. That's how people leave the church. That's why they go home. They do it because they let things get between them and God. And they grow cold. And they grow indifferent. And then they wonder what's happening. How much are you feeding God? How much are you feeding God? How much are you putting on that fire? How much are you feeding yourself? You got to feed yourself. You got to I can't stoke your fire. You got to stoke your own fire. You got to put your own wood on there. Because if the fire's not big enough, you know it's not. And then you got to do something about it. But a little deviation from the word here. See, the devil's not going to take you completely out. He's going to have you deviate a little bit. Oh, I know God says this, but it doesn't matter. Oh, I know God requires this, but, you know, I'm predestinated. And the whole time you're getting colder and colder and colder. And you need to start putting some wood on that fire. You need to. How do I put wood on that fire? Read and pray. Get back into the Word. Give God more time than you give. Give yourself. And the thing is, the more you give to it, the better you feel. Yes. The less you give to it, the worse you feel. And you start questioning things and start wondering about things. And next thing you know, are you sure that this is the right place? You sure we're the only ones? You sure there's not everybody could be missing it? There's too many churches, too many good people out there. And then next thing you know, you're talking, there's message churches that broke up that the brothers went back to denominational church just so they can play music. That's as cold. There is no fire there. When you stoop so low that you got to go to a denominational church to get fellowship, back to the vomit where you come from, back to the barnyard. I don't think you were an eagle. Once the eagle leaves the barnyard, he ain't going back. Once the eagle leaves the barnyard, he's not trying to pick around from some scraps. You know, when my grandparents would feed us and we'd take our scraps from dinner and we'd put it in the bucket. And they put all the scraps in the bucket. And then my grandmother would say, take this bucket out there and feed it to the chickens. That's what they loved. That's what they wanted. But I didn't see no eagles in the chicken yard. They don't eat scrap corn. They don't eat old pieces. Do you know chickens will eat chickens? You put a chicken leg in that bucket and throw it out there. That chicken ain't going to say, oh, that's Johnny. I ain't going to mess with him. No, chickens pluck chickens. They'll mess with each other when they're alive. They'll see a spot on one, and they'll start pecking at that, pecking at that, pecking at that. And they'll peck it until they make the sore bad enough to kill it. Sounds like church people to me. One little deviation from the word was a step away from Christ. People say they love God. They go to church. They even shout and rejoice and sing and have a good emotional time. But when it's all over, watch and see if it's in the word. Watch and see if they're in the word. They can say they love God, but their lives tell another story. I wonder if John didn't see a lot of that before he died. People say they love God, but not obeying his word. We see that here all the time. People don't want the word of God. People are looking for, what are they looking for? Now, there was somebody just walked in the church. Walked back there, looked around, said something to Skyler. Don't know what he said, doesn't matter. Turned around and left. I'm thinking, do you realize where you were at? Kiss the door. People don't know how close they can get to God and missing. So in order to talk about this love affair, I want to start out with God. Because I want to find out if he does love us. Remember, God has the ability to love. We should understand that now. Elohim doesn't. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves us. God cares about us. That is exactly who he is. Brother Branham asked that same question I asked y'all a little bit ago. Do we come in a worked up emotions? Do we come to join a church? Do we come because we don't want to go to hell? If you're here because you don't want to go to hell, that's the wrong reason to be here. Or do we come because we love God? God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should have everlasting life. Do we come because it's love, because of its love sacrifice that God gave to us, that we might display it? Is that why we're coming? God so loved us that he gave. He cared enough about you and me that he gave. And then what are we going to turn around and do with it? He really does love us. He loves his own. But in order for God to love us correctly, he's got to deal with us. Because man is a mess. He's a wreck. He'll get away with murder if he could. He'll do anything and everything. There's nothing man won't do. So God's got to deal with us. When we're slacking, when we're slowful, when we're lazy, when we're doing the wrong thing. Revelation chapter 3 says, verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Never, there's not one person in here that don't need to repent. Not one. You say, I'm a good person. Repent. You can't even move forward until you do so. God can't even deal with you until you do it, and you got to do it. You got to do it before he deals with you. He said, I'm waiting on God. God's waiting on you, as Don says. He wants you to repent. Remember about the new birth? He said, repent and then be baptized. And then you shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the order. You cannot get around repentance. You can't bypass it. You can't move around and say, well, I don't need to. I'm a good person. You might think you're a good person, but there's not one good but God. And when you think you got yourself in such a good position that you are perfect, then you are missing the mark. Amen. You can't even start a love affair with him until you repent. And when you repent, he's going to rebuke you. You think you come to this place for God to just tell you Christmas stories? He rebukes and he chases. He tells you where you're slacking. He tells you where you're laying down. He tells you where you're short. So you know why he does that? So you can get up and move forward. It's not to tell you off and to send you away disappointed. He wants to rebuke you to get you to where you need to be in his word. That's what it's for. And only a son and a daughter of God can accept rebuke. If you can't accept rebuke, you're a bastard and not even a son. He's got to tell you the truth. When you stop coming to church because you got your feelings hurt, you're proving that you're not, you're acting like you're not even a son or daughter. You say, well, I'm mad. I don't care how mad you get. You still need to repent. You still need to turn around. That just means turn around. I'm guilty. I need to repent and turn around. As simple as that. When you find yourself going down the wrong street, what do? Turn around. When you're going down the wrong place, the wrong path, what do? Turn around. When God rebukes you and tells you where you're wrong, what do? Turn around. Don't just accept it and say, okay, Lord, you're right. I'm no good. No, you ain't even doing nothing. That's not repentance. When you repent, you stop doing what you're doing and you do something else. I have people tell me they repent. They say, oh, you're right. I'm wrong. You're right. And they never turn around. You never repented. Oh, I stole cookies yesterday. You caught me. Ha ha. Oh, you know, I was bad. I shouldn't have done that. And then to turn around and steal them the next day, you never repented for it. You just agreed with me that you were wrong. Agreement is not repentance. The Bible says agreement's your devil quickly. So agreement ain't repentance. Devil can't repent. You think it's repentance just because you say some words. But repentance means stop doing it. Repentance means I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm turning away from it. I'm going to make a change. And then when you make that change, if you fall on your face again, you get up and you repent again. I'm so glad that we can repent over and over and over and over and over because I need it every day. You don't just repent one time and that's the end of the story. You got to die daily. If you die daily, you're repenting daily. You're laying things down daily because your goal is to get a love affair with God, not to satisfy you. God so loved us that he gave. And God chastens everybody that he loves. If you come to church and you never get chastened, God don't love you. If you come here and never get brushed up, never rebuked, any church without rebuke is not a church of God. If all you got is Christmas stories and Easter stories and baptisms and weddings and funerals, if that's all you got at your church, God ain't even in there. You come into the house of correction. That's what this is. That's why you're here. At least that's why you should be here. I started out by asking you why you're here. And if you're running from this place because you don't want to hear it, you're a bastard, not even a son. That's the word of God. You say you're cussing. No, I'm telling you what the Bible says. Yeah. If you read a little bit, you know it's in there. Yeah. He's going to rebuke us all. He's going to chasten us all. We all can move up. We all can do better. Oh, if you're a wife and you got a husband, don't think you got it made just because you cooked him something. You can move it up. You can step it up. Husbands can step it up. None of us has it made. We can always grow and move forward. We can always do better. When you think you can't do no better, you're dead. And now he says, Brother Branham says, to his own, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Yes. To rebuke is to reprove. To reprove is to expose with a view to correction. Yes. Chasten does not mean to punish. It means to discipline because the subject amendment is in mind. We are trying to get you to amend what the problem is. Oh, if a husband and wife are having a problem and all she does is just say, yeah, you're right, yeah, you're right, and she never changes, there's no amendment to it.
Amen.
Amend means to put something on it to change it. Fix it. And if you go round and round and round in insanity, it's doing the same thing and expecting different results. If you can't ever get over it, or you never improve on it, then that means you never repent it.
Amen.
Y'all still with me? Did somebody get bucked off? Okay. All right. When you repent, that means you're going to amend your ways. And that chastisement that God gives you helps you to amend your ways so that you can improve yourself and your love for Him. Because remember, God loves you. God's going to rebuke you. He's going to reprove you. He's going to change your ways. His ways are not our ways. His ways are perfect. Our ways are flawed. We're full of flaws, and we got to come to the house of God so God can correct us. And once He corrects us, then He can amend our ways. And that's how we step forward. Amen. You say, well, I can't help it. I'm a hothead. You can't help it. The first thing you got to do is quit confessing you're a hothead. Because you are what you confess you are. Oh, I can't overcome that. Then you won't. I can't give it up. Well, it won't. But that's not the word of God. God never will put more on you than you can bear. He will never lock you into a situation where you have no way out. I'm putting scriptures out here whether you know it or not. I'm putting the word on this. This is the word. And repentance is one of it. You can't even get beyond repair until you repent. You know you got to tear something down before you build something up? You don't put new cloth on an old bottle, an old piece of cloth. You try to sew something new on an old piece of cloth, it won't last. Because the old's going to tear and mess up the new. You say, well, I put that new there to cover up for the old. Well, it's just going to make a bigger hole. When you start covering up your sins, covering up your problems, covering up this and saying, well, I'm not wrong. I'm okay. And the word is against what you're doing or what you're saying. You're not okay. You got to repent. You say, well, when you repent, and what happens if you repent and it happens again? Repent again. What happens? You pray for somebody and they don't get healed and they die and go on, and the next person comes with one prayer. You pray for them.
Yeah.
You keep believing. See, that's faith is what we have that the rest of the world doesn't have. I have faith that God's going to get me over everything.
Amen.
I have faith that nothing's going to hold me down. I have faith that He so loved me that He's going to make sure I'm where I need to be.
Right.
No matter what it means. He promised. Romans chapter 5, verse 5, just to save from reading. I can read the whole thing. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. He loves us. He shows his love by giving you the Holy Ghost. And do you know the Holy Ghost is going to correct you? The Holy Ghost's whole job is to correct your thinking. That's all he's going to do. You say, well, he's going to make me stop this. He's going to make me stop that. No, he's not. He's going to tell you it's wrong. He's going to show you the Word of God and show you where you're messing up. And then the Word of God is going to be face to face with you and what you want to do. And then you have to decide whether you're going to take the Word of God or take your own thinking. Holy Ghost don't make you do nothing. Oh, we always say, oh, the Holy Ghost. If I didn't have the Holy Ghost, if you didn't have the Holy Ghost, you do it with the Holy Ghost. All the Holy Ghost is doing is taking the Word and revealing it to you. That's what Jesus said he's going to do. Take of my what? Take of my Word and show it unto you. Let you know where you're messed up. Let you know where the Word is calling for. Let you know where you're short. The reason people walk away from the church is because they don't have the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost will tell them, forsake not to assemble yourself together. But you have to decide. All the Holy Ghost is going to do is tell you what the Word says. He's going to reveal unto you the Word. But he's only going to do that to those who has him. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're on your own. You're trying to figure this thing out. That's no wonder you're trying to figure out if Notre Dame was right, if Futures is right, if Buddha's right. No wonder you're trying to figure out who's right. You're trying to do it without the Holy Ghost. But you get the Holy Ghost, the only place the Holy Ghost is going to take you is right to the Word. He ain't going to take you to Confucius. He's not going to take you to Muhammad. He's not going to take you to those other books that's not even in the Bible, the Book of the Maccabees. He's not going to take you to that stuff. He's going to take you back to the Word of God, and he's going to show that unto you. And if you need more than the Word of God to make it, then you can't go. You say, I'm confused. You're confused because you're not letting the Holy Ghost lead and guide you. God so loved us that he gave. He shed his love in our hearts. And now he's given us his love. He's shown his part. Oh, my goodness. See, there's a difference between filial love and agape love. See, some people try to serve God with filial love. You know what filial love is? When you feel good. Filial love contacts your flesh and your spirit. And you love you. We love each other with a filial love. We love the country with a filial love. We love the world with a filial love. But see, it takes more than a filial love in order to have this relationship with God. There's something called agape love. That's God's love. That's the love that we have to love him with, because that's the love that he loves us with. Do you know God's love doesn't end? I was laying there this morning in bed thinking about this. And this might be a good place to put it. I don't know. I was thinking about marriage. I said, it's no wonder that Satan is destroying the homes. Because, and I was laying there, I don't know what time it was, 2, 3, whatever. I didn't look at the clock. Just laying there, way off in the morning. Now, I was laying there thinking, and it says, it's no wonder that Satan is destroying the marriage and the home and all of this. Because if you can see how a home runs by the Word of God, you can see how God's home is going to run. And he's got it so messed up. Remember, I love what I was laying there thinking. I was listening. I was thinking of Brother Allen's, what he made a statement. He made a statement, a powerful statement Wednesday. I don't know if y'all heard it. I'm going to repeat it. He said, a woman wants to hear, I love you. That's what he said. Well, y'all agree with it, Judge? Y'all remember he said it? Okay, I thought I could get some amens. But a man wants you to hear him. And I said, that is so true. Because all a man really wants is his wife to understand what he wants from her. That's all he wants. She's the one who wants the feely-feely, give me flowers, tell me you love me. And if you don't do what she wants, she thinks, you don't love me. You could be killing yourself, building her a room addition. And because you didn't say you love her, she's through. She's like, he don't love me. And he's out there building your room addition. which is love. But a woman wants to hear that. And I get it. And we got to do it. I tell Clarice I love her. I don't tell her enough. I don't think there is enough. I don't. You can say, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. And then she can still be sitting there going, yeah, do you love me? Do you love me? I'm like, look, I got to go to work. I can't, you know, my going to work is my love. My slaving myself is my love. My providing for the family is my love. But Brother Branham said the man with his lunchbox going out to work is showing his love. That's the action of his love. But the girl, women want to hear it. Man just wants her to listen to him. And I thought, that was so rich. Because, you know, that is exactly how our relationship is with God. We want God to tell us that he loves us. We want God to let us know how much he loves us, what he's going to do for us, what he's going to give to us. And all God wants us to do is listen to his word. Just listen to me. Listen, that is God's love. His word is his love. Your husband's word is his love. But we don't want to hear that. Oh, he always says that. He wants this. He wants that. But Satan is destroying the home so that we can't see even what God is doing with us. God so loved us, but he just wants us to listen to him. That's why he gives us his word. A husband just wants his wife to listen to him. That's why he tells her, this is what I need you to do today. You know, I told you a story about you could give your wife one thing to do. One thing, one little thing. And you come home at the end of the day, and she meets you at the door because she wants to give you a kiss because she loves you. And she'll tell you, I love you. And then there's a silent gap there because, you know, you got to put something, you got to fill in the blank. Is there something you want to say to me? I love you too. Well, honey, I ask you to do this. Did you do this? Well, you know, this has been a busy day. I got up this morning and I did this and I did that and I did this and I did that and I did this and I did that. I did 10 things. Whoa, am I tired? But did you do the one thing I asked you to do? Well, I got so busy, I didn't get a chance to do that. All a man wants is for her to listen to his words. Amen. That's her love to him. All God wants is for us to listen to his words. That's our love for him. Amen. And that's why I said, Brother Allen said that Wednesday, and I was thinking about that this morning. I said, I got to bring this in because I don't want y'all to miss that point. That's a very important point. Wives and husbands. Wives need to listen to her husband, and husbands need to tell their wives they love them. Okay. I just want to throw that in there because that was too good to pass up. I heard that Wednesday night. I was like, that was good. Okay. I just think that the most grandest word, love, it's broken into two different words. There's a love that's called filial love. That's the love that we have one for another, natural. And then there's agape love, which comes from God. That's a godly respects and love. And I'm so glad to be here in this fellowship this afternoon where both phases of love is operating. Now, you can have both. You should have both. Agape love will make you have filial love. Fellowship one with another, and the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Agape and filial. God loves us with agape love. Unconditional. Never ceasing. Continuing, as Brother Allen said Wednesday. It's a continued love. It's a love that never ceases. But the type of that is the husband and wife. When they're married, their love never ceases the whole time they're married. That's why God doesn't do divorce. He never had in his mind for a love that was going to cease. He doesn't do it himself. He didn't want us to do it. And he wanted us to have a love that lasted throughout our lives. That's why when you marry till death do you part. Because that love is supposed to be everlasting. Because that's the type of God's love. Now, I know we had divorce, and I know we have broken homes, and I know we got to do all this now, but that's Satan trying to get us away from what God's plan and his type and shadow is for his love for us. Amen. He never was in divorce. He said it wasn't so from the beginning. Right. It wasn't his plan. Even when he messed up the worst. I watch people, they get all tore up and about, oh, my husband did this, my wife did that. And they're ready to tear the house down. What did Adam do? At least your spouse didn't sleep with an animal. And Adam kept her till death did they part. So God ain't in divorce. Maybe we shouldn't have put that on the internet. God is not in divorce. Amen. And we break our homes up off of little junk, little temporary things that don't even matter. Amen. She didn't do this right. He didn't do that right. She did this. He did that. And on and on and on. And we split our homes. Or we don't even value the vows that we took when we got married. But I know I'm talking to people who's been divorced in all kind of states, even in our little assembly here. But the truth is still the truth. Amen. God is not in divorce. Amen. That's man's divorcing man. Amen. Romans chapter 9, we talked about the other day. Verse 13, as it is written, Jacob have I loved. God loved Jacob, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. God loves and he will give mercy to me. You know what? God's going to give me mercy to me no matter what. It doesn't matter about what you think about me. You might look at me cross-sided. It says, you're never going to heaven. I'll sit across from you at the marriage supper. God will have mercy on me because I'm his son. And I have faith that I'm his son. Oh, that means you can just go do anything. No, I can't just go do anything. I pay on this side for every choice I make. But I'm still going. Oh, you go out here and do this, this, and that, and end up with some kind of deadly disease. You'll pay. Or you go out here and you do the right thing, and you'll pay. It'll come back to you. Like I said Wednesday, I think it was, I said, you can't beat God's giving. You can't outgive him. You do good on his behalf, and he will bless you. He will multiply. You won't even know where it's coming from. Look at that little woman that had that little bit of meal. She gave the prophet the last that she had over top of her son and herself. He said, go ahead and finish the meal. Oh, by the way, bring mine first. She did it. And her barrel never ran dry for the rest of her life. You can't give God anything that God don't give you more. He loves you so much with an unconditional, unfailing love. When I fail, when you fail, God still unconditionally loves us. That's what the world don't understand is, how can you be bad and do the wrong thing and God still accept you? It's an unconditional agape love. It doesn't mean I don't get reproved. It doesn't mean I don't get rebuked. It doesn't mean I don't get chastened. I do, but God doesn't change his mind about his word. He doesn't change his mind about his love for me. He doesn't pull me off the marriage supper and say, you can't go. I'm still going anyway. And because people are so, they're so stuck in works, and they think you got to preach works, and everybody's got to do the right thing, and you got to preach this. They want me to just preach works, works, works to you guys so that all you do is good works, and you never have a problem. I'm sorry. Every man that was born in sin comes here and has a problem. Amen. Oh, yours may not be smoking. Yours may not be drinking. Yours may not be running around. Yours might just be a proud spirit. Because you think you're better than somebody else. We had people leave the church because they thought they were better than us. And you know what? They left the church and got worse. At least I'm still in the house of God. At least I'm still praising God, serving God. I'm doing the best I can with what I got to work with. They didn't even use what they had for God. They went home and sat down. Walked away. I got somebody I want to talk about. I need to get, oh, I ain't there yet. Oh, okay. Let us examine the first phase. As many as I love. In the Greek, the emphasis is upon the personal pronoun I. He does not say as many as would feel. He should say as many as love me. He said it's not as many as love me. It's as many as I love. God loves you. No, sir. We must never try to make Jesus the object of human love in this verse. Don't think he's loving us with a filial love. Jesus loves you with an agape love. No. It's the many that are the loved ones of God. It's his love in question, not ours. So, once again, we find ourselves glorifying in his salvation, his purpose, and his plan. And we are confirmed even more strongly in the truth of the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. He loves who he loves. Who's going to tell him not to love me? What are you going to tell God that God don't already know about me and going to make God change his mind about me? He's God, the sovereignty of God. Even as he said in Romans 9:13, Jacob have loved. Does a noun obtain that since he loved only the many, is he therefore in a state of complacency, awaiting to love for those who are not drawn nigh to him? In other words, is God sitting out there trying to wait on the people who don't love him to love him? No! By no means is that so. For he declared also in Romans 9:13, Esau have I hated. And in verse 11, the Spirit boldly called out, for the children not being born, neither done a good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. That's why I'm standing here today. Amen. I'm standing here not because I've done so great, not because I'm so holy, not because I'm so righteous, but that that God's sovereignty and purpose will stand in this hour. He's using me to do that. He's using you to do that. It doesn't make you better than anybody. It doesn't make them worse than you. It's the sovereignty of God. You love God and God gave you eternal life.
Amen.
That the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works, but of him that calleth. This love is elective love. It is his love for his elect. And his love for them is apart from human merit. He's not doing it because you're so good at it. Oh, Dawn's going to get to go because she can cook well. It's not about that stuff. It's about your love for the truth and your choices. And you chose to love God, and God loves that about you. When everybody else walks away, you stood still. When everybody said it's false, you said it's right. When everybody else got tired and went home and didn't do anything, you kept coming. No matter how you felt, you kept coming. When you were sick, you felt coming. When you were tired, you kept coming. When you didn't want to keep coming, you kept coming. When things were hard at church and churches were splitting, you still came. God loves that about you, because you don't let nothing get between you and him. That song says, nothing between my soul and the Savior. Nothing's going to come between us. Before the children were born, he'd already said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. That's our God. Now let's talk about our love. Because it's not an affair unless it's on both ends. Y'all are celebrating because God loves you. Oh, and that's good. I'm glad he does love you. Because if it wasn't for his love, none of us could do any of this. But now let's turn it around, because it's an affair. It's a love affair. It's between him and me and between me and him. Hebrews chapter 4. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and of the joint and marrow, and of the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God gives us the word so that we can take that word in. You've got to take the word in. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart. That's the only way you won't sin, is take the word in. Because if you don't know the word, you don't know what to believe. People go to church and don't know a thing about it. See, you need to know your message. You need to understand. And I ain't talking knowledge. I'm talking about recognizing your day in this message. I'm talking about understanding what you got. Because if you don't know the difference between us and the Baptist church next door, then you're in the wrong place. You need to understand why you're here. Know that God has brought the word before you. You are sitting in the living word of God. And God is dealing and talking and helping you. Oh, brother, the Bible is just like a love letter. This is what Brother Allen said Wednesday. He's talking about this. It's like a love letter. You have to read between the lines. See what I mean? God said, he hid it from the eyes of the wise and prudent and revealed it to babes such as learn. You got to come to the house of God to even understand what you need to understand. You can't do this at home. You can't do this on your own. You say, well, I'll go home and study it. It always cracks me up when people come here and they think they're going to get educated. They pull out their pad and their pen and they take shorthand and they get perfect notes. Because they're going to go home and study this out. And they go home and they look at those notes and they make their own ideal up of what it means. You got to come to the house of God. How can you hear except it be preached? How can it be preached except it be a preacher? And how can it be a preacher except it be sent of God? That's the order. Amen. You can't get this out in the street. You can't get this in a seminary. You can't get this watching on television, laying your hands on TV and watching an evangelist talk to you. You got to get to the house where the house of correction is so God can correct you. And if you can't get it all, go where you can get the best you can get. I never recommend anybody just always stand at home, because it's unhealthy. It's against the word of God. I don't care if I have to go sit in a Catholic church. I would go sit in there and get a crumb and then go back home and listen to me. But at least it'll make the crumb make sense. I don't advocate somebody just listen to me. People try to get all these people on the internet to come to their church by the internet. You better get you a local assembly.
Amen.
That's what the Word of God says. I'm sorry if you don't like it. I'm sorry if it doesn't fit your wants. But the Word of God says to gather yourselves together.
Amen.
That's why you got to come here, people. That's why you can't sit at home. Go, I'm going to go home. I'm going to go home and decide whether this is right or not. You already messed up.
Yeah.
Only one's going to be at your house is you and the devil. And he is. I used to tell a sister, she used to get mad at me. Won't mention her name. Never know, she might be listening. She'd get mad at me, she'd go home. She'd sit there for weeks. And then after she'd get over it, she'd come back and I'm still here. Just as glad to see her. I'm not mad about a thing. She'd do that time after time. And I told her, I said, sis, all you do is when you go home is have a tea party with the devil. You ain't getting nowhere with God. And then when you get over it and you come back to the house, isn't it funny that I'm never upset with you? Because I've never been upset with you. All those lies the devil told you that got you home were just you and the devil. And so when you tell me you're going to leave the church and go home and find out whether this is right or not, I already know you're not going to find it. Because you can't get it without me. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how educated you are. I don't care how much God you think you have. I'll tell you like Brother Childers said, I'll take the God you think you have away from you. Because one thing I do know, if you don't hear me, you don't hear God. And if you don't hear God, you can't have a love for him because you don't even hear him. I'm going to move on down here. John chapter 14, verse 21. Remember, I'm talking about our relationship now. I talked to you about God. Now let's talk about you. He that heareth my commandments, John chapter 14, verse 21, and keepeth them. My commandments is my word. When you hear this message, you can't just hear this message like the man did in the lobby and turn around and walk out the door. That ain't hearing. That ain't keeping his commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Isn't it funny how God always talks about keeping? Continuation. You can't just come to church once a month or come on Easter and Christmas. You've got to be here continually. Keepeth his word. You don't just live this message on Sunday and Wednesday. What do you do on Monday? What do you do on Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday? I don't follow you home, but God does. What kind of example are you to people who see you? When they're looking at you, what do they see? That's the question that you have to ask. And keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. If you love the word and you keep the word, you really do love God. Isn't that great? Isn't that great to know that? And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. You come out of the mind of Elohim. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I will make myself known. If you love me, I will come and make myself known to you. A lot of people are looking around like, I need to find out whether this is God or not. When you make that statement, you already told me you don't know what you're looking at. He ain't made himself known to you. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. We're going to move in. We're going to move in. So you're no longer by yourself. You're not alone in this thing. You loving the word's loving you. Now we're talking about a relationship. Now we're talking about a real affair going on between you and God. God dealing with you and you dealing with God. God wants to deal with you, but he also wants you to deal with him. If you love his word, he'll deal with you. When you're wrong, he'll correct you. When he wants you to move it up, he'll tell you. When he wants you to stop something, he'll tell you. When he wants you to start something, he'll tell you. You know why? Because he's living in there. It's not, you don't have to wait till Sunday and Wednesday. I don't have to tell you on Tuesday night what to watch on TV and what not to watch. I don't have to tell you on Thursday what to do and what not to do, where to go and where not to go. I don't have to tell you on Friday what to say or how to speak or what not to say. He's living in there. He should be having communion with you. He abides with you, and he talks with you, and he walks with you, and he tells you what he wants you to know. And what you do is you repent. You turn around and say, Lord, you're right. Lord, this is good. Lord, I want to do better. Lord, I can do better. I can do that. I just draw the line right there in the sand. I ain't crossing that line. That's you. He's in there and he's telling you, I don't want you to cross the line. Now, what if you do cross the line? Does that take away your agape love, his agape love for you? No. But the whole time he's going to say, you need to repent. You really need to repent. You need to repent. You're going to try to walk around and act like you need to repent. You need to repent. You know why he's going to do that? Because he's in there. And he loves you. And he wants you right. And he's going to walk with you. He's going to nag you. He's going to talk to you. He's going to rebuke you until you finally say, Lord, you know you're right. I need to repent. I'm sorry, Lord. I don't want to do that ever again. And the next day you do it again, you need to repent. You need to repent. You know, how often do you need to forgive your brother? Seven times? Or seven times 70 on one item? If he expects that out of us, don't you know he does that for us? I mess up. Repent. Yes, Lord. I'll never do it again. I mess up. Repent. Yes, Lord. You know, I'll do that all the way home.
Amen.
All the way home. You know when I'll stop repenting? When I get a glorified body.
Amen.
Then I don't have to worry about it because all three realms will be perfect. But it doesn't take away his love for me, and it doesn't take away my love for him. I really do love the Lord. I want to serve him. I want to be his servant. I want to do his will. He has given me something that the rest of the world can't see. And I want to share it with everybody I can, as much as I can. That's why I'm going to India. I don't need to go to India. I ain't lost nothing in India. Except for Praveen. That's the only thing I got to go get. But other than that, I don't have to go. But you know what? Because I know who I am. I know what I have. I know how valuable the Word of God is that lives in me. And I know I can answer any question anybody has around the world. That's a statement. They need me. So I've got to go. Brother Branham said, he said, I would come home and I'd sit there and try to eat and relax. And while I'm there eating and relaxing, I can hear the cries of the people around the world that I have to go back out there. What we have to get out. That's why we spend the time and the energy and the money on the internet. That's why we spend time and money going out there. Because we could save a whole lot of money if I stayed home. But who would that help? Okay. We got to preach it. Now let me tell you about a guy here. I'm gonna get wrapped up here in a little bit. But let me tell you about this guy. He met Jesus. And he wasn't bad. He wasn't a drinker, smoker. Wasn't a bad guy at all. He's a rich young ruler. I ain't gonna read the story. You know the story. That's Matthew chapter 19. He's a good guy. And Jesus loved him. And actually, he wanted him to come follow him. And he said, I need you to do these things. He said, what do I need to do? Honor thy father. Honor thy mother. Check, 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 check. Everything Jesus asked him. He was a good man. Better than all of us. Kept it from his youth. Some of us didn't get started till late. Some of us still ain't started. But he was a good man. But his problem was he didn't love God. God loved him, but he didn't love God. That doesn't work when you're having an affair. So Jesus said, oh, by the way, you got all those checked off? I got one more thing. Because Jesus knew the man's heart. And when he looked at his heart, he saw coins sitting on his throne. He knew he loved money. He said, I want you to sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Do you know, ain't no rich person going to give their stuff away to the poor? They worked too hard for it. Or they inherited it. And they're definitely not going to give it to the poor because they won't get anything, no return out of it. No, it's a bad investment. So they ain't going to do it. They ain't going to do it. What would I be to take one of my rental properties and just give it to the man on the street and just say, here, now, it's yours. And I get nothing out of it? I'd have to go through the eye of a camel, a needle. I had to do something. I had to pray hard or something. It'd definitely be God. But he said, go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And the guy said, oh, I can't do that. And he just walked away sorrowful. He walked away. He walked away. He had no love for the truth. He had gone through the form and fashion. He had gone to church all his life. He had built up this little facade. But in his heart, he didn't even love God. I'm talking about a love affair. This man walked away sorrowful. Listen to what Brother Branham said about him. He said, why do you call me good? He said, when you know there's only one good, and that's God. See? What did the young man express in this? That he was God. See? He said, thou knowest the commandments, keep them. So he said, what commandments, master? He said, commandments of honor thy father and thy mother, and so forth. And he said, I've done that from my youth up. See, I've done this. He said, you're lacking one thing. Go sell what you have and distribute to the poor and follow me. What an opportunity. Think about the guy that walked out this morning. What an opportunity he had right at the door. What an opportunity. What an opportunity that could have been. Peter, James, or John, or one of them, see? The kid had been trained and brought upright and been presented to Christ to use him and all the potentials that he had in him. A good businessman? Oh, I'd love to have a good businessman in this church. Get some good businessmen in here? Well, we got it made. Jesus was like, hey, he's a good businessman. I'll slide him over there. Peter, James, and John, they were uneducated. He was a good educated guy. He'd help them out. That's what Brother Branham's saying. All the potentials that he had in him to use, probably educated, young, rich, influenced, where he could have presented the gospel and yet turned it down. What a rash thing that was for the young boy. Turn it down. He did not love God. God wants not only to love you, but he wants you to love him. He wants you to turn down all the world's riches. And you know what? We used to sing that song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." When I first come to the church here, we sing it a lot, and I would get condemned. And the things of this world would grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And I think, oh, I still like this, I still like that. But that ain't what it's talking about. It means that serving God's more important than serving the world. The things that the world has out there is not turning you on like the Word of God does. And you will sacrifice and turn the world down and take the Word of God over top of all of that. That's what it's talking about. The things of this world grow strange. We ain't worried about this world order. We're not worried about the politics, the religious churches, the people. We're not even worried about our loved ones and our family. Oh, we'd love to spend Sunday with them. But you know what? When it comes to the house of God, I'm sorry, I got to go. Either you got to come with me, stay home till I get back, or you got to go home. Things in this world will grow strangely dim. They mean that they lose their hold. They're not holding me. This world's not holding me. I can lay any of it down, and it won't bother me a bit. I can leave here tomorrow. If I lay my head down today and die, I'll say like Paul did. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Oh, my. I have finished my course. And now there's a crown waiting on me. Yes, see, that's the world don't hold me. The world don't have me. I have to deal with it. I have to live in it. I have to go to Kroger's. I have to shop in it. But it don't own me. Amen. It don't run me. My love for God is greater than the love for this world. Amen. Your love for God's got to be greater than the love for the world. You say, well, it isn't. Well, keep putting wood on it. Fan that fire. You say, I'm bored. Put wood on it. Yeah. Sing a song. Testify. Shake yourself. Walk the aisles. Do something. Don't just sit there and die. Don't die on the vine. He says, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. The life is in the vine. And if you sit there and die right here in this place, I don't know what to tell you. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. You keep his word. And he'll take care of you. Take care of him, he'll take care of you. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them around thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding. You are not going to have a good understanding. If you don't understand, you need to dig. It's all here. We've had a prophet who gave us everything. Brother Childers dug this thing out of nowhere. He handed it to me on a silver platter. And now I'm handing it to you on a golden platter. And you don't have to do nothing but take and receive what's been given to you. You don't have to even dig it up, find it out. You don't have to run the scriptures and the quotes. It's all right here. If you hide this word in your heart, you will find favor with God and man. And good understanding in the sight of God and man. They'll wonder where you get it from. They'll wonder why you're such a good manager. How you manage your time. I've been taught at church this. How do you know how to get answers to all your employee problems? I've been taught this at church. How do you such a hard worker when nobody else wants to work? I've been taught this at church. We don't believe in lazy men. We don't believe in unemployment, just sitting around doing nothing. Right. If you have good health, you work.
Yes. Amen. Right. Amen.
Where do you get all this? From church. And when you take this in your heart, you'll have favor not only with God, but you'll be the best employee. You'll be the best student. You'll be the best brother. You'll be the best son. You'll be the best neighbor. You'll have favor with God and man. That, because the love of God's going to come out. When you put the word in there, the love will come out. You see, because God is love. Oh, I just want to share this. Just this is a little sidebar. I saw this when I was looking up, and I thought, that is so true. Brother Branham said, do you know that your body is not made to lie? I thought I'd share this because I thought I was reading. I thought, ooh, we need to see this. Do you know that your body is not made to lie? And at face value, you think, what? But after I read this, you're going to say, of course. You know, they've got a device now. It's on your nerves. They can put this little, this is brand new back in the 60s. They can put a little band around your waist here and put it across your head. And then they can say that there, say to you, I lied about that, but I can say it so it's easy and that they would believe it, that I'm telling the truth. And you can, yeah, it's a lie detector. They would say, were you at a certain place, like you did sit in Brother Shea's trailer while Brother Branham preached Sunday afternoon on this day, and you say, no, sir, I didn't sit there. No, sir. You know what that lie detector will say? Yes, sir, you did. Yes, sir, you did. Now I'm going to read that first sentence again because now, do you know that your body is not made to lie? Isn't that amazing? We have to override our body to lie. We have to override our spirit to lie. So God wants us to be good people. He gives us the things. Your own body doesn't want to do the things that it's doing. That's just sidebar. I want to share that. Because it make you think when next time you go to lie, you think, you know what, I really don't want to lie, but I'm overriding my own natural body to do this. And people lie all the time. Okay. God said, if you keep my commandments, I won't do this. But if you don't, it's coming to you. That's exactly right. Still the same. He's talking about Adam and Eve in the beginning. Keep his commandments. His word for the hour is what he promised. The word for the hour is his commandments. He's not trying to get you to go and do the Ten Commandments for Moses and do this and that and the other. But his word for your hour, which we have, that's what he wants you to keep. And if you keep that, then it will bless you. And it will show your love for him. Remember that I'm talking about your love for him now, not his love for you. We've got that settled. I'm just going to move on down here. 1 John chapter 4. We love him. Verse 19. Because he first loved us. If any man say that I love God, now listen to this, and hateth his brother. Remember why I talked at the beginning? You can't hate me and love God. Now we turn this around. Because at the beginning we read, if you love your brother, then you show, it'll show because you love God. Now he's turning around and says, if a man says he loves God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God? Whom he have not, his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. You can't love God without loving your brother. Now I'm turning back around. I'm not talking about how God loves you. I'm talking about how you show that you love God. You got to love your brother. And if you don't love your brother, then you don't love God. I don't care what you say. I don't have the scripture here, but I know it talks about how can you shut up your, see your brother in need and shut up your bowels of compassion. How dwelleth the love of God in you? I don't even have, that's not even one of my scriptures. But that's already in me. That's why it welled up out of me. Thy word have I hid in my heart. It's not about your studies. How can you love your brother whom you hate your brother whom you see and say you love God? You don't love God if you don't love your brother. That's the facts. That's why I make it my business when the church has an issue or a need that the church helps take care of our brothers and sisters where we can. Now, if you're just stupid, I'm not going to be dumber than you and give all the church finances to you because you're lazy. The way the church is going to help you is to hold back. Most of the time when I have requests from brothers overseas for things, I don't give them everything they want. Because if you give people everything you want, then they'll always want. And the poor you will have with you always. So don't feel bad if you can't supply everybody's needs. But we take care of home first. Before we take care out there, we take care of home. But part of being home is that you're going to do your part and give back to the body. That's why your tithes are important and your offerings important. You say, oh, here he goes. No, here I am. You need to do that because, yes, you're a part in giving back to the body because that's how we take care of each other. And how do you shut up your bowels of compassion? You say, well, I never give offering. I never pay my tithes. I'm trying to take care of my, you know what? I've had people come to me and say, Brother Moore, I'm struggling. I lost my job. Short-handed, I don't have this, I'm trying to pay my tithes, I can't right now. I say, take care of your family. Take care of your family. And then when you get back on your feet, then start paying tithes. Then get back into business. I don't ask John how many of y'all ain't paying. Ooh. I hit a nerve. That love went out the door. But I can tell you this much, and I'm just guessing, I'm saying a third of you are paying tithes. I thought I'd make sure you understood. Right, I thought I'd make sure you understand which third is which. A third is paying tithes, carrying a load of the world. And I don't know, John, if I'm lying, if I got the wrong number, or if you have a better percentage, tell me. Okay. I didn't ask him. I just said that from here. And I didn't even know. I don't follow that. I honestly don't. So, you 75% who say you love God, and shut up your bowels of compassion. That's not my notes either. All right. 1 John chapter 4. I'm getting ready to close. Moving right along. Nothing to see here. It's got hot and quiet in here. Oh, we loved it when we said God loved us. Oh, we were all on our feet when we said God loved us. Oh, we were all turned on about God loving us. But now I turn around and say, how much do you love God? And you get quiet on me. God is love. 1 John chapter 4. I want to read that whole chapter. But I'm just going to read verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God had towards us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. It's a love affair. We're not just doing this church just to be here on Sunday, just to pat each other on the back and say how nice we look dressed today. We're here because God wants to move us up. And you need to move up, and I need to move up. And if we need to move up, then just move. If you hadn't done it till today, today's the day. It's the first day of the rest of your life. God will make a way somehow. He always does.
Yes.
Oh, he'll raise up rocks. If he has to. That's what Brother Branham said. Reverence. He said, we ought to honor one another. Respect one another. As brothers, sisters, and love one another with undying love. You say, well, I just can't. Well, just stay here a little longer. And then you will like people too. He says, if you're here today and you're saying, well, I just can't. You just stay here. Just stay here a little longer and let's keep preaching to you, because that word is what's going to change your heart. And that stony heart, he'll put in there a heart of flesh. One that'll feel for others. If God can feel for others, then we should feel for others.
Amen.
Stay there a little longer, and you'll like people too. You'll love those who doesn't love you. That's really a good sign of Christianity. When you can, from your heart, love those who does not love you. Love the unlovable. Jesus said, if you just do favors for those that do favors for you, well, the publicans did say the same thing. But see, you must be kind to those who are unkind to you. Do good for those who would do evil to you. Always remember that. Keep that before you, that God is watching you. Remember, God was good to you when you were evil to him. While you were yet sinners, Christ died. So we need to learn how to be a little bit more Christ-like. Not just be in our own little world, worrying about me and mine, and not worrying about whether your brother has lights, whether your sister has food, whether they have a way to church, whether they're well or not. Check on them, look them, love them. And then not only that, that guy at work that always tries to trip you when you come in and ties your shoestrings under your desk when you go to stand up and you trip, and they take the last of the apples in the food line, and they close the door in your face, and oh, you just can't stand that guy because he doesn't have no respect for anybody. Love it. Love her. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Let the love of God come out of you. Don't worry about getting the last of anything. You say, well, I got to get the last word. I can't let them talk to me that way. I can't let them do. Now I'm going to stand up for the rights of this. No. Jesus said, if this world was mine, I'd fight for it. This world is not our home. We're just here to do thy will, O God. Get the word out. Preach the gospel. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, reboot, rebuke with all long suffering and doctrine, so that we can get the word in us. Now, when we get the word in us, then we can start having that love affair with God. He loves you, and you're loving him. And you can't love him any more than you love your brother, because that's what he's looking for you to do in order to express him and his love back to him. He expresses his love back to him through you. That's how he does it. God loves us, and we love him. One more quote, and I'm going to leave it alone, because I done something. This is perfect faith. If God, when I was an alien from him, so loved me till he stooped down to get me and pick me up, that gave me confidence that he wants to use me. He's got a purpose in doing it. He's seen something in me. He's seen something in you. He had a reason to save you. Look at all the people that's unsaved today. Look at the millions he could have took besides you. But he took you. Amen. No one can take your place. Amen. You're in God's economy. No one can do it. That's his love to you. Then won't your love reach back to him? And there's a love affair. No matter what the situation is, its circumstances is governed by this love that creates faith. You love God, and it produces faith in you. That God loves you, and you love God, and you love one another, and that brings the faith. All right? Then it can't keep from bringing out just exactly what God promised it would do. Everything God promised in his word, when you let him back out of you, when you love him back, you become the express word of God for the hour that we're living in. That's when the love affair really works. It's not just God loving you, and it's not just you loving God, but it's you loving your brother. And in loving your brother, you love God. That's how God will receive your love back. You've received his love. So now let's turn around and give that love back to him. We have things to do. We're not just here to sit on this bench and just to fulfill that checkoff box for going to church on Sunday. It's a life lived. And God help us to just move forward into it. Help us to embrace it and let his love shine out through us, because that's when that love affair really works. You can't have a love affair one way. It's got to be both ways. And God wants you to let him express himself out through you. By this love, they'll know that you're his disciples. But you have love one to another. There's so many scriptures over. I didn't even go. There's just so many scriptures talking about how we got to love. I wanted to read 1 John so much and so bad. I said, Lord, I can't do that whole script chapter, but that's the love book. And it shows you how to love each other and how to feel for each other and how to stand in the gap for each other. And in that, you'll be expressing God's love back to him. And that's what he wants to see out through us. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful this morning for this affair that we have. God to man, and man turn around to God. And as the prophet said, it's God to man and his love in us, expressing our love to our brothers and our sisters, which goes back to you. Thank you for that, Father. Ask you to just let us love one another unconditionally, just like you love us unconditionally, Lord. I don't want to love on condition for people. I want to give them an opportunity to move forward with you. I want to give them an opportunity to fellowship with you. Lord, when they fellowship with me, they're fellowshipping with you. If I am the Word. And since I am the Word, what they see out of me should express you with every heartbeat. Thank you for this group, this congregation. Help us to do our part. Help us to give back the love that you so gave to us. And not worry about this world and the things of the world and trying to fit in and, oh, it's going to be short no matter what. And what if we don't fit in? It's not our home anyway. Let us be that example. Let us apply that to our lives in such a way that when the world sees us, they see the love of God expressing itself out through us in our talk, in our walk, in our thoughts, in our expressions. Help us to do so, Father. Touch our bodies. Help us to be strong for you. We want to live as Christ, to die as gain. But while we live, Lord, we want to live for you. Express back to you that you gave us. Bless this body, Lord. We love them. We want them to be right. We want them to hear the word of God and apply it to their lives.
That's the reason we go this way. That's the reason we do what we do. Help us, Lord. None of us are perfect in our own selves, but Lord, the only thing that's perfect about us is your word. And we die daily, Lord, laying things down all the time. But God, I ask you to just help us today that we will just move in your love. Thank you for it all, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Come on, musicians. Yeah. We can do that. One for your brother. Three. One for Don. One for Skye. For Christy? Where's she at? I thought I saw her. Well, Christy can come up and get her room. Come on up here, Christy. Yes, she will. I thought I saw her. I said, Christy's here. Okay. Two for you, sis. Man. The world looks at this and they think we're crazy. One, two, three. One more. We are crazy. This world is not our home. We don't fit in. They try to question us and ask us about it. They don't understand why we do what we do. They don't understand anything. They are without understanding. Christy, we're going to give you a prayer cloth and we're going to pray for you too. Because like you told me the other day, you're tired of Satan messing with you. We don't have to have this. The devil don't have to have the last words or so to say so, and neither does the doctors. They do the best they can. I'm not against doctors because they're smart guys. But, you know, I know the man who made the doctor. And so we don't have to accept it. Amen. Let's just all put our hands on them. Sister Christy, put your hand on top because we're going to pray for you too. Heavenly Father, we come before you this afternoon, Lord, knowing that your word is true. You said, by your stripes we're healed. And Father, we know Satan's a liar. He tries to convince us otherwise, but we don't have to listen to him. We listen to your word, Lord. And Father, you said, by your stripes we're healed, and we're going to stand on that. Lord, these cloths that are going to go forth here from here today, we ask you to send the healing power. Not so much in the cloth, but in the people. Let their faith be built to receive that which is already theirs. And Lord, we bring Sister Christy especially before you, Lord. She's tired of Satan messing with her. Ask you to touch her body, Lord. Just clear up whatever issues are going on. And regardless of what the doctor says, we're going to stand on your word, Lord, knowing that we're going to hold to your unchanging hand. Thank you, Father, for everything. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 There's one for you, and you had two, sis, right? One for you. One for you. One for you and one for you. It'll be okay. Amen. God bless you, Clarice. Hold to God's unchanging hand. That's a good song to end on. Build your hopes on things eternal. Don't waste your time with this world. This world ain't going nowhere. It's going back to the dust where it came from. And we are getting out of here. Amen. That's the key of G. Don't forget, come back tonight at 7. And we'll go from there. Time is filled with swift transition. Not a work unmoved can stand. Just build your hope something eternal. Let us hold to God's unchanging hand.
your journey's completed. And when your journey is completed. And if to God you have been true. Your hope in glory, you're enraptured, so will you. Why don't you hold?
Just hold to God's unchanging.
Missed.